We've heard about God's amazing grace and love. Today, we are reminded of God's amazing power as we hear about the God who makes a way in the sea and a path in the desert. We know that God is the one who has the ability to offer us life, and this is of much greater value than anything else we could understand or accomplish. Our challenge, then, is to know how do we respond in light of God's action. And these are the questions we see on display in our second reading and in our gospel reading. We want to know what we can do to highlight all that God has done. Paul gives us an idea of our baseline for trying to appease God. We seek to follow the law. This is the mindset of the elder brother from last week. We want to ensure that all the chores for God get done, that we are meeting the to-do list. This perspective lifts our status and ability to the forefront, saying that we can be acceptable in God's sight based on our works. Though we know that we should rely on grace through faith, this is still a tempting perspective for us. It follows what we see elsewhere in this world, and it gives us some level of understanding for why God would want to care for us and choose us as God's own. Yet Paul is clear that our own works, our own heritage even, our own status in the world, or the nation we would belong to, none of these things matter. These are not what we are to have to rely on before God. Indeed, we are to recognize instead that these things are a loss to us. They are rubbish. Not only do they not help us earn favor with God, they trip us up. We hear that we are to actively let these things go, to throw them away. Mary, on the other hand, shows us where our actions are to be rooted. She has already experienced the power of the resurrection and knows the life that Jesus offers. She wants to do something to acknowledge this, to give thanks for what God has done in her life through Christ. She knows that the only reason Lazarus is at this table with her is because of the power of the resurrection that Christ offers. So she does what she thinks she can think to do. She pours out costly perfume upon Jesus' feet and then wipes his feet with her hair. As soon as she does this, her actions, rooted in a response of thankfulness, are criticized. And we see another challenge we humans have. When we focus on what to do for God, we think that some actions are better than others. Judas's critique is not that Mary has done something for Jesus, but that there was a better thing she could have done than what she did. Judas lifts up providing for the poor, which is something else that God has called them to do. He may even, and likely does, agree with Mary that something should be done in thanksgiving for what Jesus did for restoring her brother to life. But the question he would ask is, what is the best thing that could be done? What is the best way to serve God? This question, I think, often trips us up. We get bogged down in seeking to determine if our initial response to God's love and grace is appropriate. We wonder if there is something better that we could do. Or once we have performed an action out of our gratitude for what God has done, we second guess it, wondering if there was something else we should have done that God would have preferred more. Yet Paul reminds us that our actions are always incomplete and imperfect. There is no best thing we can do. He knows that in spite of all of his efforts and all of his striving, he still not has accomplished his goal. He does not fully have the righteousness that comes through faith in Christ, and he does not fully share in the glory of God with him. But he knows that he cannot obtain such a righteousness through his own efforts. That is why everything he had counted as value before is now counted as loss. But this is still his goal. He wants to make Christ his own, so that he may know fully the righteousness of God. He makes mistakes along the way, but he lets them go, always returning to his goal of serving Christ, of making Christ his own. We can consistently wonder if we are doing this well. We can wrestle with if we are doing the things we should for Christ, if our focus is where it should be. Like Mary, we can hear the voice of Judas in our minds, criticizing our actions and inviting us to do something more, something different, something better for God than what we have done. Thankfully, we get to hear Jesus' response to such a voice today. Jesus tells this voice to leave us alone. We are affirmed for what we have offered in love and gratitude. It is not the action that we are to focus upon, but on the one for whom the action is done. Jesus intervenes because he knows that Mary performed this action solely for him. And this is to be the evaluation of all that we would do. This is what it looks like to strive continuously to make Christ our own. We are to have our perspective filled with Christ and offer up whatever response we are led to with such a perspective. The action we take is not what bears the weight of what we should do, but rather a cultivation of relationship with Christ, of increasing our faith in this one who suffered and died for us to have life. That is our true focus. This is similar to what we hear in Isaiah. The people are to have their vision filled with who God is as the one who will redeem them from exile. And we hear in his vision that we are not even to focus on the actions God takes, but on who God is. Isaiah invites the people of Israel to remember God's liberation from Egypt, bringing them through the water and destroying the large army that came after them. Not to highlight the action, these former things, not to say this is what God's going to do now that we're in exile, but rather to highlight the God who performed the action, to say the same God who has saved us before from impossible circumstances will save us now in our current circumstance. The same God who has been with us and saved us is still at work doing new things. If we get caught up in looking for specific actions, if we want God to bring us out of exile the same way God brought us out of Egypt, we are going to miss the new thing God is doing. God's new action is not to bring us through the waters, but to bring us through the desert. And then to provide water in the midst of that desert, to have flowing streams right alongside our path that we may drink while we are thirsty. And these flowing streams reach beyond ourselves. This grace of God at work is greater than we imagined. Even the unclean animals are able to give honor and praise to God in this new vision that Isaiah highlights. And we know then that these actions of God are always greater than we would expect because of how great our God is. That is to be our focus. And so as we train ourselves to look for God in our midst, we'll be constantly amazed at the ways in which God is at work to redeem and restore us. We will find ourselves seeking to respond to what God has done in some way. And there will be times, of course, we'll wonder about this response, if it was the right or best response. And in such moments, we'll have to focus all the more on Christ. If what we did was a complete offering to Christ, if what we did was simply something that we responded to and we had our perspective filled with Christ and wanted to serve our Lord, then we know that it is acceptable. And if that is not how we functioned, if it was not out of a perspective rooted in Christ and seeking to serve Christ alone, then we know that we have to continue to forget what lies behind. To forget about those things that we did that weren't quite as good as they should have been, and turn our vision once more to Christ, and have that vision filled with this one who reveals the love of God to us. We have such a vision offered to us in this meal today. Here, God is acting in ways to make God's presence known. Here, the body and blood of Christ springs forth in this bread and wine, and we are invited to perceive it. Here we are invited to recognize the one who continues to act in ways that restores us to life. Here we know the surpassing value of God's grace. And in this small amount of bread and wine, we encounter riches and love far beyond anything we could ever receive in this world. As we are filled with this gift from God and with God's own presence, may our hearts be stirred to celebrate and share this love that we have received, seeking to find ways to make our joyful response known in this world. And for not only this gift, but for the one who graciously shares it with us, we can only say, thanks be to God. Amen.